From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast Day M. We'll have open lines at the half for you tonight. And next hour, Planet X. Is it back again, or at least in the news? Dr. Jason Rand joins us. We'll talk about Planet X next hour. Well, former Secretary of State Colin Powell in St. Louis tonight indirectly bought me dinner. I'm not kidding you, indirectly, because I was in the same place he was, but in a different location. I didn't even know he was there. And apparently after he had left, without any fanfare, the general manager of the establishment says, "Hey, have you eaten yet?" And I says, "Well, I'm just going to order dinner right now." And he said, no, this is on Colin Powell. And he gave me, I guess, a plate of whatever they were eating because they didn't want to throw it away. So thank you, Colin Powell. Here's some of the stories of the day. A new report says a Scud-type missile launched from a small ship 200 miles from the coast of the United States could unleash a nuclear-generated electromagnetic pulse over Washington, D.C. that would leave behind $771 billion in damage. It's a great story on WorldNet Daily. The report was produced by Sage Policy Group of Baltimore and commissioned by Instant Access Networks, which is leading a pilot project with Frostburg State University and Public Technology Institute to analyze the dangers from EMP. Experts have predicted the EMP attack essentially would destroy any electronics within range of its impact, leaving technology comparable to that available in the 1800s. Imagine that for a moment. Could you live like they did in the 1800s? The search for missing aviator Steve Fawcett has generated internet tips now and volunteer pilots, though whether the extra aid is actually helping or hurting the rescue effort is still an open question. Driven by Google search technology that enables those to view from their computers high-resolution photographs of the rugged Nevada landscape where Fawcett went missing, thousands of amateur volunteers are trying to help the hundreds of official searchers. In a moment, remote viewer Ed Dames joins us. He and his group pinpoint in a location they believe Stephen Fawcett went down. We'll talk with him about that in a moment. The 63-year-old Fawcett, a former commodities trader who was the first to circle the globe in a balloon, was last heard from September 3rd. Authorities believe he was carrying only one bottle of water, but he is considered an expert pilot and survivalist. In Spartanburg, South Carolina, a dispute between a husband and his estranged wife ended with the man and the woman dead and their 11-month-old child injured. The couple began arguing after the man showed up at a home to return the child after a weekend visitation. The two were supposed to meet somewhere else. She was stabbed at least 15 times and shot once. And an autopsy scheduled shows that the 38-year-old man also was stabbed and shot. That's a bizarre thing. The shot that struck her went through the leg of the child that she was holding. The Senate has approved $1 billion to speed repair and replacement of America's crumbling network of bridges. Really won't go far enough. 6 weeks after the Interstate 35 West span collapsed in Minneapolis, if approved, the Democratic plan would boost federal funding next year for bridge repair and replacement by 20%, but barely make a dent in the $65 billion nationwide backlog of bridge repairs identified by the Department of Transportation. We spend more of that, of course, every 3 months in Iraq. So just 3 months' worth of money we spend there, we could fix all the bridges based on the Department of Transportation estimate. Just like that. Done. An Erie, Pennsylvania cancer researcher says he has found a way to burn salt water, a novel invention that is being touted by a retired chemistry professor as the most remarkable water science discovery in a century. He says that it happened upon discovery accidentally when he tried to desalinate seawater with a radio frequency generator that he says he developed to treat cancer. We're going to be talking with him in the not-too-distant future. This is an incredible find. And NASA, by the way, is looking for a better slogan, according to Richard C. Hoagland, our science advisor. The current slogan is called Explore, Discover, and Understand, but Wired Science, the Internet version of it, is saying, hey, just send in a slogan to us. We'll pass it on to NASA. I wonder what that would be. In a moment, Ed Dames, remote viewer, joins us. We'll talk with Ed about the search for Stephen Fawcett on Coast to Coast AM. And we're bringing remote viewer Ed Dames in for a while this hour to talk about the search for Stephen Fawcett. A few days ago, Ed supplied us with a map that he and his remote viewers believe that Stephen Fawcett may have gone down into an area in Nevada. Ed Dames with us now. Hey, Ed, welcome back.
Good evening, George.
Okay, tell us a little bit, first of all, about the method that you and your remote viewers use to pinpoint this location.
Well, the method, the precise method, is proprietary. The half of my team uses the methods that I teach my students, and that is to describe the present location. But however, in this case, I used controls so that most of my remote viewing team did not know, and this is the way they're taught to run a problem blind, they did not know the nature of the remote viewing task. They were just given a set of numbers. So as far as they were concerned, this could be looking for hidden gold or a search for Al-Qaeda or something like that. But their unconscious mind is trained to directly perceive the target. And in this case, they sketched very, very, very steep, deep mountains, and the target being the aircraft itself. Actually, the target was the Fawcett, way down in between two very steep mountain ridges.
We've got the pinpointed location that you supplied us at up there on the Coast to Coast website.
Actually, that's not a pinpoint. I'll have a pinpoint up on my website in a couple of days, but it's going to take us probably another 72 hours, I think, to get a pinpoint. That's a general area there. But I want to point out that it's in California. All of the searches, all of the Google information and database is in Nevada. So no one pursuing the search stratagem that they're pursuing now is going to find him if they continue to look in Nevada.
Now, he, of course, was on a three-hour flight. He was supposed to stay in Nevada. How do we know? Well, I guess through remote viewing you do, but what got him into the California area?
Oh, well, let me go into that a little bit. Today, at his own website at stevefawcett.com, there's a statement, part of a statement, if I may quote.
Sure.
Quote: "It is now believed that Steve Fawcett was unlikely to have ventured far afield (parentheses such as crossing the Sierra Nevada range), but that he was more likely to have been on a local pleasure flight, and that he probably was not surveying sites for the upcoming land speed record project. This is in contradistinction to the original statement last week on September 4th.
That's
totally
true.
Diametrically opposite. So my point is that nobody really knew what was going on in this man's mind. Last night I had a tete-a-tete, a little discussion with one of the team leaders who said, Ed, he can't be over there. There's no way because the plane's performance capabilities, blah, 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 the expected flight plan. And I don't think he realizes who they're dealing with. They're dealing with a man who probably got pretty bored flying around the desert, looked over at those beautiful mountains in Yosemite and said, I'll take a detour, which I'm sure that he did. But actually, we could, as remote viewers, get into his mind at the moment that he did that. But what we went to work on in September 4th, actually the morning of September 5th, when it became apparent to me that they were having difficulty finding him and that the time was of the essence, we went to work immediately to locate him. And in the process of doing that, we determined that he was dead, as I mentioned to you earlier this week.
Yes.
Then we could slow down. I don't mean to be crass about
that. I understand. And, you know, Ed, even I wrestled with that story. I was telling myself, George, are we really going to put this on? And I did it for a couple reasons, Ed. One, because of our deep respect to you and your group. And two, you've gone out on a limb on this one. You have said that he is dead. So I thought it was important that our listeners at least heard that coming from you. And so I read that email that you had sent me a few days ago.
Yeah, I wanted to go on record there, but you see, in our business, we get paid to be right. We had to be right in the military. I mean, you can't tell Delta Force at the time. It was Delta Force before it was blue light before they became Delta, that, okay, this is where the these are where the hostages are, this is how many weapons the abductors have, this is where they are. You can't do that and be wrong. So, and in those days, there was some wiggle room. We couldn't be 100% sure. Now we teach our students to be 100% sure, and we teach them how to do that. I mean, that's part of – this is a skill, and it has evolved to the point where we can say, you know, these are the facts. We deal with facts. However, the science itself of remote viewing is still exotic and cutting edge. But to get back to Steve, I don't think these teams realized that this man he's an adventurer, one of the best pilots in the world, and although his plane, his light plane, had certain, it had its performance limitations. If anybody could make this thing do what he wanted to do, it was Steve. And and there's another thing too. This man loved gliding. He was a dyed-in-the-wool glider pilot. Lots of folks don't know that. What he was scouting for was a place for a new competition that he was going to arrange, a glider competition, and he probably went over to the Sierra Nevadas to ride around on those updrafts and see if that was a good spot. I mean, we could actually know as remote viewers, but in this case, time is of the essence in terms of retrieving him.
Well, and sadly, the longer this goes on, the more, of course, your initial report could be correct, and that is he is dead. The next point, and as you said, is the pinpointing within 72 hours. What are you doing with the information, Ed? Who are you passing it on to?
I'm passing it to the Civil Air Patrol at National Headquarters. I'm passing it to Steve Fawcett's command post in Nevada, and I'm passing it to his office in the Midwest, to his office manager. Those three entities.
I remember when I was doing my local show in St. Louis, and he was conducting his successful solo balloon trip. We would get daily reports from his command post at Washington University here in St. Louis on his trip. I mean, they love the guy. He's had an excellent team. Why no GPS tracking in this plane? Or maybe it does have it, and something has gone wrong with it.
I don't know if you're familiar with these kinds of. As a kid, I almost bought one, a Blanca Satabria. They're great aircraft too, but they're for fun, George. They're for fun. They're for joyriding, for going up and having fun, not for cross country flights. They're for having fun. That's what you go up in one to do. And I'm sure he wanted to enjoy himself. But at the same time, this is a man who pushes the envelope in life and everything else that he does. And I just can't see him going up in a nice little aerobatic aircraft, although it stated that he doesn't like aerobatics, but going up there, riding around in the dull old Nevada desert when those beautiful Mount California mountains are beckoning right over there. Again, the searches using the present strategy, including the Google strategy, are not going to find him because they're looking in Nevada. Steve Fawcett went down in the Sierra Nevadas, and now the search today, the alert, the news break today was the searchers believe he's down within a 50-mile radius of the base. Then that's based upon a last confirmed sighting, okay? The center of mass of that oval that's on your website, the map that I had Alex post on your website, the center of mass of that is 44 miles away. That's all, 44 miles.
Okay.
But they don't want to go over there because they say, no, he wouldn't go over there.
Well, once you pinpoint, let's hope somebody looks at the information that you supply, Ed, and they do that. Now, at this point, has that information fallen on deaf ears, or are they seriously looking at?
To run in with one of the team chiefs, and he wants to abide by his own belief system, his own working hypothesis that, no, we're not going to search over there because it doesn't make sense for reasons that he thinks. And, you know, when we go as remote viewers, when we go into a problem set, and this is what we teach our students to do, you do not go in armed with any preconceived notions whatsoever. I mean none. As far as I'm concerned, if we would have come up with the information that he was abducted by Martians and he's somewhere else out there in space, we have to live by that. We have to stand by it because that's what we're taught to do.
The fact that you're a remote viewer, does that make the Civil Air Command and the Fawcett Command Post, do they kind of like shy away from you because of that?
You bet. Especially any government entity. I used to get called into FAA offices in Washington, D.C., but it had to be behind closed doors and quietly because the federal government can't be caught dealing with psychics. And that's, you know, we're still called that in these days, even though that's not what we do. Can't be caught dealing with us. Big corporations, I'd meet with the boards of directors, but they could not record that for their stockholders because of the obvious connection. We're still a white elephant in that regard. It's going to take a long time and a lot of successes, strategic successes, to convince the public that this is real. And, I mean, we were a top-secret unit, and so we had all that history as a Department of Defense entity and later CIA, but it was all secret, and so the public could not avail itself of our successes.
Well, I got to tell you, Ed, it's a sad story. I just always marveled at the adventures of Stephen Fawcett, and I do hope they find him. But as I've said, the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be.
Well, it's an ethical dilemma for me as well, too. I mean, Peggy, his wife. You know, how do you think I feel by announcing that her husband's dead? And that you need to go over here and find him. That's not easy to do. I run into this with missing children cases, too. Parents who beg me to help don't want to be told that we're now dealing with the body. They want to go to, many of them want to go to their graves believing that child will walk back through that door. And, don't shoot the messenger. We deal with some hard, cold facts in our business. I'll post fixes at my website as we get them, and I think we'll have our first one up in about 24 hours. A more precise fix.
And we've got the link up on the website. And we'll keep the link up for a couple days there, and I'll make sure Lex does that. You know what? It could be remarkable when you finally post the exact point that you believe he may be. If they went there and still found him alive, to me, that's victory.
To me, that is. That would be the end of my career.
You would be that, I guess, in a point. When you say the end of your career, on one point, you pinpointed where he would have been.
No, there's no way that I would announce that a person is dead and be wrong about that. That I could not countenance that. I would pull the plug on my career. Now, I'm saying this publicly. I'm going on record to say that, George.
Even if they found him and he was badly injured, for example, you'd still do that? I don't think that's fair for you to do that.
If he were near death when they found him, because we made this mistake with Osama bin Laden, so we learned from that a couple of years ago, because Osama bin Laden was near death and was virtually lifeless, and we thought he was dead at the time. I talked about that on your last show when I was your guest. So we learned not to make that mistake again, and we have methods to double-check and make sure we don't make that mistake again.
You know what I have also found sadly fascinating is the fact they have found six past wreckages of crashes that they could never found before. That, to me, tells me that they may never find Stephen Fawcett.
They'll find them. George, if they don't find them, I'll mount an operation myself. I've got people in my team already volunteering to go. In fact, we've got mountaineers and everything we need. So if no one's going to act on the information or they can't spot it from Google, we'll go get them.
What will the square miles of the pinpoint be?
Approximately 500 meters.
That's pretty close then.
Yeah, we'll be within 500 meters before we pack up.
I don't understand why they just don't take your direction and go there for a
while.
George,
people are. It's just they're doing it quietly.
Okay, well, some people are.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully something will be found soon then. Ed, thank you so much. Keep us apprised of the exact pinpoint once you get that, would you?
Of course.
All right. That's Ed Dames, Very incredible story, and the search for Stephen Fawcett continues. I'll have just general open lines when we come back. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And here's a wild card line for you, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, 6 years ago, a very tragic and horrible event hit our country. On the CoastToCoastAM.com website, you will see a feature article, Tribute in Light. Tonight, two beams of blue light are illuminating the sky above Ground Zero. It is the annual Tribute in Light, signifying, of course, the area where the Twin Towers once stood and honors the victims and the heroes that tried to save them. We're going to pause for 5 seconds for a moment for you to remember them. 5 seconds of silence, which is a long time on radio. Okay, for the rest of this hour, we will have open lines. Next hour, we talk about, Planet X, back in the news again. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm actually in North Carolina here.
Okay, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering. I know last night I was real interested in the topic you were talking about. And do you know if it's possible, and if anyone has done it before, to have their astral projection like going to top secret areas like Area 51 or the Pentagon or something like that? You know, I'm not even sure if that'd be possible.
Well, I'll tell you what has happened. A lot of people have remote viewed, which has some similarities to out-of-body experiences, astral projection. I don't know of anybody specifically who has traveled out of their body and, you know, popped into Area 51. But there have been some places people have gone. They've gone to other planets. Some people have gone to other dimensions, other universes. I mean, they do travel quite distances. Shamans, for example, have done some incredible things as well. But I think during remote viewing, a lot of people have done exactly what you just asked. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Hello. Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, my name's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm in a big truck, and I just pulled over on a shoulder. I'm on I-75 in Georgia. I was listening to a local talk show down there in Jacksonville, Florida today on my layover, and the talk show host said that he read in an Air Force magazine or one of the military magazines that on the 14th of this month that NORAD is going to be standing down. The entire North American air defense in North America is going to be standing down the entire day. Now, that just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because we know what happened last time NORAD stood down on, September 11th.
That I have heard that same thing. I had heard that it was under the recommendation of Vice President Dick Cheney that NORAD stand down for that day. I'm going to do a little bit more homework on that. It's a few days away, but I want to get some more information on it.
Yeah, maybe give Alex a call.
Yep, absolutely.
I love Alex Jones. I love your show, George. I just wanted to let you know, and keep up the great work. You're a great guy, man. I love your show.
Thanks. You know, Alex was arrested in New York a few days ago during the part of the ceremonies, pre-ceremonies for 9/11, and he's been released since. We've got to get him on the show just to get an update on that situation as well. I call him the Bulldog. They always seem to arrest Alex wherever he goes these days. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Mike. I'm calling from Seattle, first-time caller.
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. Sure.
Yeah, I love the show. I just wanted to comment on what Ed Gaines was saying, and I was wondering if maybe the government ignores the remote viewers' views on where Osama bin Laden might be, you know, regardless of whether his actions or lack thereof in September 11th meant anything. Do they just ignore him as well when he tries to tell them where bin Laden is at?
You know, I'm sure they do publicly. Privately, there could be some people who take his information. Ed, I think, was hinting that some people are taking as information, for example, on the Stephen Fawcett search. They may be private individuals or those who are government employees but not working on behalf of the government when they go out on some of the searches, because there are a lot of volunteers out there now. He had, when he was on the program with me a few weeks ago, he posted a map of where he believes Osama bin Laden is now. And and believes, I guess, because there's so many tribal people in that vicinity, we can't seem to go in there and get him, which is unfortunate because we got to get rid of that thorn. We should have done that 6 years ago.
Yeah. George, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay. And listening on our number one rated KVI in Seattle. Let's go to our next wild card line. It's your turn. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good, thank you.
Hey, in regards to Steve Fawcett, and I hope I'm right, I have this funny feeling that he may have been abducted, you know, and, you know, snatched out of the sky. You know, after all, he was very progressive person, and I believe that extraterrestrials may have more of the progressive types may have picked them up just to use them for a future mission on Earth. What do you think of that?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm at a point where, though I tend to think his plane may have gone down, anything's possible out there. And if he got close, for example, to Area 51, or who knows what's going on? I mean, this is a mystery to me. I mean, it's almost like Shades of Amelia Earhart. You know, this adventurer simply just vanishes in thin air, disappears. I do know one thing, that I've been on planes from Burbank to, let's say, Las Vegas, and those are pretty good-sized planes in jets. Those things bounce like crazy. When you get in that region and the heat comes up off those mountains, man, you drop and you go down and you're up and you're all over the place. If he is in this smaller single-engine plane and hit one of those pockets, anything could have happened. It could have flipped him wide over. It could have flipped him over. And even though he's very accomplished as a pilot, you know, anything could have happened. And I don't think he had a parachute, or at least had it on. But the whole thing remains a mystery. You know, also kind of reminds me of the moment when John Denver crashed in that, I guess that was a homemade little thing that he was in. You know, Fawcett was in a real plane, but man, it's just a sad, very bizarre story. And so bizarre. It tells you just how immense this country is when you just merely vanish without a trace. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, I'd like to tell you what happened back in the 80s when I used to live up by Bass Lake up in California.
Yeah, please.
Since I was 17, I backpacked up in the mountains up there, and I used to go to Jackass Lakes. It's 10,000 feet to go fishing for trout. And one time I was on top of this mountain, it's all rock, and with my binoculars, it was late in the day, and there's no one up there. I mean, you go up there, there's nobody there. And you can see mountains for miles. You can see all the way to Nevada. And I saw this one mountain way off in the distance, and it looked like there's an opening in the mountain. And I saw a fighter jet fly right into it, and the mountain closed, this opening.
Right into it?
Huh?
Right into it. I mean, at full speed, or did it slow down? It was one of those hairy.
Long way off, because I was looking at it with binoculars. It looked like it was just flying, you know, low, and it just went into this mountain.
Jeez.
And the thing is, I was up there about a week, and when I came back down, there had been two fighter jets that disappeared. They never found them that I know of. And I tried to tell people, nobody would listen to me. But I know what I saw. I've been hiking up there since I was 17. And I know the mountains. I know the area where it was at. But it's somewhere where I couldn't get to because it was just really remote. But I know I saw it. And I think this guy might be alive, and I think he might have gotten taken up into that thing.
Well, I hope.
I don't know. It's just a possibility.
It is a strange story, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I know what I saw.
Okay, that's strange. Great, thanks for sharing that with us. Next up, East of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi. Go ahead. All right, got to let you go. You only get a few moments here if you don't jump. Hello, first-time caller. You're up with us on Coast to Coast.
Hey, George. Listen to the show all the time. I wanted to talk about coincidence I've been having of seeing streetlights randomly turn on and off as I walk by.
You got the power. I wouldn't call it a coincidence. You've got something going on with you.
Well, I didn't realize what had been going on until a friend of mine told me that she had been experiencing that. And as she was talking to me, it made a lot of sense. And I guess I'd been experiencing that for quite a while. But lately, in the last couple of weeks, it's been happening every single day at a few certain lights around town that I know of enough that I can point them out to people and also predict when they're going to come on.
When you walk by it, they come on, and when you keep going, do they stay on or they go off?
Sometimes I'll look back and they'll go off, and then just a couple days ago I was hanging out with my friend telling him about that. It's the first time I've ever mentioned it to anybody, and then just as I mentioned it to him and we looked at it, it came on right then.
What do you think?
All the other lights in the whole neighborhood were already on, but one was off, and we both looked at it, and it turned on right away.
What do you think's going on with you?
I don't know, but it freaks me out every time it happens. I don't know what to think.
Well, I think you've got positive energy. I don't think it's anything for you to worry about, and take advantage of it. Use it. You know, it might one day give you the opportunity to be a little more intuitive. I mean, if this is happening and if it has to do with you, you've got a lot of energy and you might as well use it. Let's go west of the Rockies. Your turn. Hi there.
Yeah, Glenn here. How you doing, sir?
Good, Glenn. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a drive truck here east of Denver on 70 coming into Lyman here, but I have plenty of time to think here and all this technology we have and everything that nobody wants to embrace. Like a little grain or rice or something into a back of your, you know, neck or something where you could be traced if a little signal was put on. And it could be put into a baby, and then when you're 18 years old, you know, you have the option to keep it in there.
Well, now,
I would think something like that would be useful.
Would you do this?
I would. I'd volunteer for it. If I was in the service, I would definitely want it because, you know, like, you know, some of our servicemen have been captured. You know, I mean, at least to be, you know, heading in the right direction to find them.
Well, that's true, too. A lot of people are a little skittish of having those kinds of tracking devices, though. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dave from Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Hello, Dave.
I wondered if you heard about the back of our North Carolina driver's license. I just got one of these, a brand new one, about 2 weeks ago. And I scanned the photo of it. I can send it to you. It's got a hologram of the North American Union on the back of our license.
Yep, Jerry Corsi broke that story. And, yep, it's starting, isn't it?
Well, everybody I talked to, you know, I said, hey, have you seen the back of your license? And nobody even knows what it is. But
no.
When I showed it to them and told them what it was, they absolutely flip out.
Yep. If you listen to this program, you'll understand a little bit better about this alliance and what it all means. But, you know, I think they're going to ease people into it very quietly. And like this, they didn't announce it. There was no fanfare, right? I take they just did it.
Well, exactly. And I'm a regular listener, but and actually that's what flipped me out is when I got it on my driver's license. Now it's real.
Now
it's
you,
here.
Now you believe
I don't
it.
Like it.
No. And tell me, why don't you like it?
Well, did I join the North American Union? I'm not a resident of the North American Union. I'm just getting a North Carolina driver's license. Why is this on my license? I would like the governor, Mark Easley of North Carolina, to tell me why he put this on my license.
Well, maybe they think it's a nice logo. It's pretty.
Yeah. Well, no, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And very perceptive of you to spot that. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hello, sir.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is Jerry talking from Miami.
Hello, Jerry.
How you doing? Listen, I'm just calling about yesterday's show about the physicists that out-of-body experience and all that.
Yeah.
And I had an out-of-body experience when I was 18. And I can tell you, I agree with most of the things that he said, but there's one issue. I know there is a God, and there's several levels of dimensions that you get higher and higher dimensions. And the ultimate dimension is where what we call the kingdom of God, and that's where God lives and, you know, organizes everything and created everything. So he... You know, the two things that you need, I think, to get to that level is, first, one, you need to have absolutely no doubt in the existence of the Creator. That's one thing. And the other one is you as a soul or a thought pattern, whatever you want to call it, what you truly are, you need to be changed just to enter that dimension, okay? And, well, not everybody gets there, I guess, you know?
Well, that's true. Well, Jerry, when you had your OBE, did you do it on purpose, or did it just happen?
I asked one night. I want to know the truth. I was in a very issues, a very traumatic time in my life, and you know, probably desperation or what have you. I that's my question. I want to know the truth.
What did you find, Jerry? What is the truth?
Well, the truth is, well, love is everything. I mean, the power of God, the organizing force, what God truly is an energy. That's what we call love. But what we experience here on Earth is a mere percentage of what love is. That power is beyond explanation. You really have, if you go into His kingdom, into the realm where God exists, you know, it's no words will suffice. It's absolute love.
Pretty good. No, I got to tell you, Jerry, and let me take one more caller before the end of the night, but you are right on it. Keep that, because I think if everybody felt the way you do, this planet would be way better off. Let's go to our last wild card line. We'll squeeze you in for about a minute or so. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Good.
My name is Paul, calling from Mesa, Arizona. How are you?
Okay, good, Paul.
Originally from Chicago with a silly accent here. my question is this. I mean, with our technology in this, thank God, this country, the thing called GPS, you think, you know, I feel sorry for Steve Fawcett. Nobody can find him and hope to God he's alive, but instincts say that maybe he isn't. But you think that they would have GPS units, and not only on our aircraft, but like private planes, it should be, in my opinion, a requirement.
I agree with you. No matter, single engine, multiple engine, jets, they all should have them.
Exactly. And it's a shame that we just don't use our technology that we created ourselves to try and track people right away instead of waiting 6, 11, X amount of days. So that was just my opinion.
So true.
And one more quick thing. Thank you so much for what you do. I'm a long-time listener, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank all of you for listening, continuing to make Coast to Coast the highest rated, number one rated talk show in the world. Appreciate that. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jason Rand. He's not a medical doctor. He's an honorary PhD. I'll explain that. But he is an expert in Planet X. And those of you who have been longtime listeners to Coast AM, you know about Planet X. If you're brand new to the program, well, stick around, because you're going to get some new information about this planet, a planet that he calls Wormwood. If you don't know that name, it's in the Book of Revelation. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.